Sally Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
Good afternoon, Tucson. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolow Village Studios. It's Tuesday, May 24th. Bill is on vacation this week. This is Ben Bueller Garcia, host of American Warrior Radio, normally heard Saturdays at noon right here on KVOI. If you'd like to interact, give us a call on the Buckmaster Live Line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. That number is 790-2040. No one would argue that we're in a very dynamic time in our nation and the world. You could apply the word volatility to almost anything from baby formula to Ukraine. Joining us today to discuss the financial and market aspects of things is Buckmaster Show financial expert Shelley Fishman. Shelley, well, you're here regularly, so welcome back. But
thank you, Ben. It's good to see you. People don't realize that you and I go back close to 30 years when you were at the chamber.
I was hoping you wouldn't put a time stamp on it, Shelley. But yeah, we've known each other forever back when we were both in different lines of work.
Right, right, exactly.
Well, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you, guy.
I have a question, though.
Okay.
How do you do what you do without getting whiplash?
Oh, in this market, whiplash is part of the terrors and dangers of being in a very, very volatile market. Not only is the market volatile, in other words, stock market and bond market volatility is just crazy. I mean, up 600 points yesterday, down 150 points today. Sometimes you get that kind of swing, during the intraday trading. But the economy right now is pulling in different directions. So you've got the economy that in one aspect is just going gangbusters. You know, unemployment is very low. GDP growth, ignoring this past quarter, has been really higher than it's been in almost two decades. The job market is really good. It would seem that the economy was doing really great, except there's this inflation problem that's got people scared. And when people are scared, they become afraid to purchase things. They become afraid to make important moves in their financial situation. And as a result, we have this bifurcated economy that is creating a lot of volatility in the stock market. So you're absolutely right. Whiplash is a professional hazard right now in my business.
Yeah, I was just driving down here, Shelley. I was thinking if our economy was a person, they'd be diagnosed as bipolar.
Oh, easily bipolar or grossly schizophrenic.
So what explain more, what are the other factors going on right now? I mean, clearly inflation is top of mind for a lot of folks. We've got the supply chain issues that haven't been resolved. And I don't mean to make light of the baby formula situation, but something that would change your life if you have young children right now, all of a sudden that becomes your top priority.
Well, exactly. And what we know is that everybody's immediate top priority is whatever it is. And it could be buying a house, it could be buying a car, be finding a car to buy. It could be, depending upon what your commute situation is. And Tucson, our commuting situation for some people can be extreme, but most of the time it's relatively manageable. We're not the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. We're not New York or New Jersey. People don't normally commute 50 or 60 miles each way to work. But in this economy, people do around the country. And if you're putting 100, 110, 120 miles a day on your car, then the price of gas is a real big factor for you. Now, if you're not doing that, if the only effect that you're seeing of inflation is maybe the cost of vegetables and beef, then you say, well, I don't understand what the big deal is. My costs are up 5 or 6%. My salary is up 5 or 6% because that's what the national average is on salary increases. And you say, so on average, I'm, pretty much okay. However, if you're not the average person, and nobody is the average person. I always joke about the fact that if you're, on your knees in front of the oven with your head in the oven and your knees on a block of ice, on average, you're fine. But don't tell your head or your knees that.
That is a comparison I've never heard before, Shelley. I mean, that's, we've got, and I don't, maybe in the years you've been doing this, and I'm much older than you, probably, but we weren't, neither one of us.
You were just going through puberty when I first knew you.
Neither one of us were around in the 1930s.
Right.
But given your expertise, can you, when was the last time we had such a, and I use the quotation fingers, dynamic market going on?
Well, we've had ups and downs in the market, and during my business life, we've had several incidences that had people very, very worried. We had the 1970s where inflation was high and the GDP growth was almost flat. And we looked back at that, and it was called stagflation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was during the Nixon years and into the Carter years. But we had a logical reason for why that was happening. And that logical reason was the war in Vietnam and the fact that we weren't paying for that war. Nixon didn't have a clue. He tried wage and price controls. This conservative Republican tried wage and price controls. It didn't work.
No.
Then we had the oil embargo, and we had the Iraq crisis, the Iran crisis. And so we saw that things were unusual. And then when Reagan became president, his Treasury Secretary said, we've got to fix the inflationary problem. And he and the Treasury and the Fed raised interest rates, some say deliberately, some say by the way, they threw the country into a recession. That recession lasted longer than almost any peacetime recession we've had, and it was a very deep recession. But it fixed the inflation problem.
You know, in 1970 was when I came to the United States, and I was 8 years old, maybe.
Okay.
So the one thing I remember about that era, though, was my mother having to take a job.
Mm-hmm.
And that, even as a kid, that gave me a little sign, hey, something's not
absolutely
right. And so how much of this, I don't want to get too much into politics, but I guess we can. How much of this is self-inflicted versus outside factors? Because clearly, pandemic, you know, Ukraine blowing up, a lot of other external factors going on.
Okay, so almost none of it is self-inflicted.
Okay.
And I don't care what Larry Summers says, and we can discuss what Larry Summers has said. But what we have here, different from 1980, different from the recession in 2001, different from the recession in 2008. What we have here is completely out of our control. We have a pandemic. We have a war. The side effects of those two things have been, in retrospect, predictable. But, you know, 2020, you know, hindsight is always 2020, right? So I don't think anybody really predicted what would happen as a result of the strict financial penalties that we put on the Russians. And I don't think anybody really understood how the world economy would be affected by shutting down Ukraine. I mean, 30% of the world's calories, not just wheat and sorghum and that kind of thing, 30% of the world's calories are supplied by Russia and Ukraine.
I've never heard it put that way, but that's a good one, yeah.
You know, when you shut that down, then you have a crisis in the world that is affecting the economies of Europe, of Africa, mm-hmm. To a certain extent of South Asia. And so those are our markets. Those are the people who are doing production for us and who buy our products. And so when they're, in effect, afraid of starving, it's very difficult to get a sense of normalcy. You know, maybe when we come back, if you want to take a break, I know you're kind of heading toward that, but, you know, we can talk a little bit about inflation and you know, what is causing inflation and how it was or was not predictable, because that's a politically charged kind of discussion. I don't mind having it because it's about finance, but the direct answer to your question, and I like the way you asked it, is how much of it is self-inflicted. I think very little of it is self-inflicted.
Okay. We come back, we'll talk more about that. And then also, I'd like to pick your brain a little bit about what people out there can do in this volatile period to make sure that their monies and their futures are safe. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Shelley Fishman. We'll be right back after this message. This portion of the Buckmaster Show has been presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. Whether you're planning something special for Memorial Day weekend or just want an everyday treat, Mona's should be part of the equation. Orders can be placed online at monasdanishbakery.com, or why not stop by for their daily breakfast special. Their summer hours are Tuesday through Saturday from 6:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. and Sundays from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village Studios. If you'd like to interact, give us a call on the Buckmaster Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, 790-2040. This is Ben Bueller Garcia sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, talking with Shelley Fishman. Shelley and I go way back, but we're just catching up now at maybe not the best time. Well, actually, it's the best time because you're an expert and I need expert advice. So we talk about volatility. What the folks that are listening out there, Shelley, who have some money in the market, maybe not. I don't want to say there's two classes of people, but there's the folks who are still relatively young and this is a long-term play for them versus the folks that are done. They're out of the employment sector. And those are two different strategies, I'm guessing, they need to be following right now.
That's absolutely right. So you know about everything about investing that you really need to know.
Wow, okay.
So if you're investing either through a 401k or an IRA or through some other savings plan or just investing on your own, and you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s, this volatility is upsetting if you look at it every day, and certainly would motivate you to find strategies that deal with the ups and downs. And we can talk about that in a second, because chasing the curve or mm-hmm. trying to market time is a bad idea. What we know since World War II, at least, and probably before that as well, is that the markets always recover. Now, in some cases, they recover in a couple of weeks. In some cases, they recover in a year or two, but they always recover. And if you take a look at markets over the past, let's look at 70 years since World War II, the average gain, on an annual basis in the S&P is about 12% a year. About the same in the Dow, a little bit better in the NASDAQ, which is tech heavy, but the losses are greater too in the NASDAQ. Now, you don't get that average gain if you try to time the market, because a lot of that average gain actually depends upon you being invested on the best days the market has. And some of those best days occur when the market's not doing too well. Hmm. So, for instance, yesterday is an example of a 630-point day. Now, if you had kind of run scared a couple of months ago and pulled out of the market, you'd have missed that 630-point day. So if you are in this for the long pull, don't even look at your monthly statements.
It's
don't
gonna
even
get you
look
depressed,
at your
folks.
Quarterly yeah, statements. Yeah. If you are properly diversified, if you have a well-planned portfolio and you're not trading every day, that you and your advisor have worked out and it's been working for you, stick with it. In fact, I would argue that this is a great time to dollar cost average your way in. If you've got any money kind of hanging around that needs to be invested, do it. People say, well, how do I do that? So take that money, divide by 12. And then every month, take one of those packets of 1/12 and invest it in your preferred investment portfolio.
So really, is this one of those situations, Shelley, where in crisis there's a lot of opportunity?
You bet.
Maybe for folks?
You bet.
Who've got a lot of time left and some time to recover and see how this plays out.
Precisely. So if you're saving and investing for your retirement years, and again, you're not in your retirement years, and that's not money that you need to live on, then this is a great time, and I would be reinvesting. I absolutely would.
What about the folks who've already passed through that door?
Well, that depends.
Okay.
So there are folks, and there's a hefty number of them who are doing well enough in their retirement such that between Social Security and their investments and maybe a little bit of income that they're still getting from one thing or another, they are not needing to go into their invested capital to meet their monthly needs for food and clothing and housing and maybe vacations and the things that people want to do during retirement. So they don't have to mine their investments during downturns like the one we're having. So they're okay. Now, there are a bunch of people, however, who rely on their investments for their monthly budget needs. Those people are hurting right now because what they're doing is they're selling low when the market – now, the market is down. It's not quite in bear territory, but it's close to that. However, if you take a look at where the market has been over the past couple of years, these people have done very, very well over the past couple of years. Now they're having a bad year. That doesn't mean it's not painful, but – the 40% gain in last year's NASDAQ doesn't look like 40% when it's down 20.
Yeah.
So if you're needing to go into your investments in order to pay the bills, then You know, there's no really good answer for you except to tighten your belt, to find ways to go into less of that, as you need to pay for your monthly expenses. I advise people in that situation not to fly solo. Do this with the advice of an advisor. And I hate to say this because it sounds kind of hard-edged, but, you know, today there are ways of getting jobs. Today we have 5 million more jobs than we have people who want jobs, and ageism in hiring has become much less of a factor. So, you know, if you're healthy and you can, you can take the hit, you know, maybe even to avoid mining investments that have lost a lot of value, you know, getting a part-time job or doing something to maximize your skills might not be a bad idea.
So I'm clearly the dumbest guy in this conversation, and maybe there's not a straight answer for this, but what is the, is there a threshold after you've retired and are drawing Social Security that you need to stay under with that side hustle before it starts to hurt you? Or
clearly you shouldn't get a job in construction.
Right.
but there are ways of, you know, finding jobs that you can handle physically, mm-hmm. and intellectually. People are looking for experience these days because we have so many more jobs than we have people willing to fill them.
I guess what I'm saying, though, is if I find that ideal Zoom-based job, uh-huh. and I'm on Social Security, if all of a sudden I get a $100,000 part-time job, how does that It doesn't at all?
Right.
Maybe.
You know, the question is always, it depends.
Uh-huh.
But if you started taking Social Security at your full retirement age, which in Social Security terms these days is 67, but it's 66, or, you know, depending upon when you started taking Social Security, you'll pay taxes on a part of that Social Security if your other income is too high. But there's no penalties in terms of losing some of that money. Now, if you took Social Security at age 62, between age 62 and age 67, if you make more than a certain amount of money, then they'll take money back from your or out of your Social Security. So that's why I say it depends. I there are times when it makes sense to take Social Security early, but those times are few and far between. Yeah. I don't care what you read in the papers.
Well, and we're running out of time here, Shelley, but the short answer to folks out there listening who might be concerned, if I can wrap this up, Reader's Digest version, if you're relatively young and in it for the long term, don't panic. There's opportunities out there still.
Absolutely.
And now
stick
might be
with the
time
plan.
Stick with
Absolutely.
The plan. That's a good way to put it. If you're not in that situation, if you're a little bit on more of a limited income and budget, you know, be smart. Look for ways to cut back. And it's interesting you brought that up, but that never crossed my mind.
I mean,
get a job.
I just hate to tell people that because they look at me like, are you the cruelest person ever? And yet, you know, if I'm your financial advisor, I can give you advice. I can't give you money.
Darn it.
Right.
Oh, and I was just about to announce your website, but you know, no freebies coming from
Shelley.
So there's
no freebies other than my advice. And my advice is you do what you have to do to survive, and you try not to make your survival today cost you in the future so badly that you're essentially eating tomorrow's groceries today.
What for, and I don't, it's not my regular show, so I guess Bill's demographic tends to lean a little bit older. But for the younger folks out there, is that, I don't know about you, Shelley, but I'm at that age now where I seem to keep stubbing my toe on the advice that someone much older and wiser gave me 40 years ago, and I'm thinking, darn, I should have listened. And now I'm in that position of telling young people now, you know, listen to me, and they're like, whatever, old man. But what is your, for those young people in this area, what is your advice?
Well, it's never too early to start saving mm-hmm. for retirement. It's never too early to start saving for your kids' education. It's never too early to begin to think about the fact that if you start saving today, you're going to have an easier time of it tomorrow. Now, I know if you're young, you think you're going to live forever, and you don't think of those things. But my advice to 20-year-olds is take 10% of your salary, put it away after taxes, mm-hmm. put it away every month, never see it, therefore you'll never miss it. Every time you get a raise, you pay yourself first. Mm-hmm. And then when you want to buy a house, when you want to buy a nice car, when you want to do the things that you'll have the money for it.
There you go, folks. Solid advice, and they can learn more by visiting ShellyFishman.com.
Yep.
If they'd like to. It's good to catch up with you.
Man, it's good to see you. It's been too long.
Well, I don't know. If Bill keeps taking these long vacations, maybe we'll see each other more often. I love working with Matt behind the glass. So just a great time to be had here. Folks, Ben Buehler-Garcia sitting in for Bill Buckmaster here on the Bill Buckmaster Show. Coming up, Steve Herman, the chief national correspondent for Voice of America, will be taking this volatility conversation out of the financial markets and into the globe. You're not going to want to miss that. Stick around. Give us a call if you'd like, 520-790-2040 here on 1030 The Voice. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, ladies and gentlemen. Ben Buehler-Garcia sitting in for the vacationing Bill. Matt Neely, you got some bumper music chops going there, huh?
Bill left me a good library.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, I already got my summer vegetable gardens planted, so I think I'm in pretty good shape, but don't take planting advice from me. Visit the good folks at Green Things. Since 1970, they've been Tucson's go-to place for all things plants. You can find them on River Road, just west of Brandy Fenton Park. While you're there, don't forget to check out the fine furniture and art at Zocalo Village Studios. Explore your options on the web at greenthingsaz.com or zocalovillage.com. If you'd like to interact with us, ask us a question, share a comment, give us a call on the Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management line. That number is 790-2040. Voice of America was established in 1942 and produces television, digital, and radio content in 47 languages, primarily targeted at an international audience. Joining us for the second half of the Buckmaster Show today is Voice of America Chief National Correspondent Steve Herman. Steve, welcome back.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, Ben.
I tell you, Steve, we talked, and let me get this right because I'm an amateur. Steve or Steven?
Mostly I go by Steve.
Okay.
You know, Steven is for driver's licenses and things like that.
Or your parents when you get in trouble. So we talked the first half of the hour about the volatility in the financial markets. Guessing to say the same kind of applies to what's going on in the world right now, huh?
You're absolutely right. It is a very volatile time right now, geopolitically, and it's probably about as easy to predict as what's going to happen with the markets, which means not easy at all.
Yeah, well spoken. Well, you're an expert. You've been at this a long time. Let's start with Asia because you spent, I guess, about a quarter of a century there. A little bit of some things popping in Asia and right now, literally, in Tokyo, but our Commander-in-Chief made his first trip to Asia during his presidency, and he had kind of an eyebrow-raising moment.
Yeah, right now Air Force One is somewhere between Alaska, where it refueled in Andrews Air Force Base, and before the president left Japan, he did have this meeting earlier in the day with the leaders of India, Australia, and Japan, what's known as the Quad. And while that was going on, the Chinese and Russians decided to team up with some of their strategic bombers. That's code for planes that can carry nuclear weapons to sort of buzz the Sea of Japan and other waters in Asia, a not subtle message to the United States, Japan, and other countries, making sure that they were in the news as well.
Well, and that's not something you don't just throw that together overnight. I think they probably had this plan for a while.
Right. The State Department spokesman Ed Price was just asked about this within the past hour, and he said exactly that. This was not something that was thrown together at the last minute and was clearly meant to send a message. The Japanese are saying it was even more provocative because it happened at a time while these four leaders were meeting in Japan.
What? Explain to me, Steve, what is our Taiwan policy? I mean, because like we support you, we love you, but wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you're kind of part of China, but we would fight to defend you, or what?
This was another subject that came up again at Ned Price's briefing in Washington this afternoon. And he took pains to explain that the one China policy is still on the boards, that nothing has changed. And President Biden also said that. He emphasized that, although what Biden clearly said when he was asked by a reporter, would he send U.S. forces in if the Chinese invaded Taiwan? And the president, without any ambiguity at all, said yes. And of course, the policy, this one China policy, has included this strategic ambiguity, as they say, which means we're never going to clearly say what we're going to do if the Chinese invade Taiwan. So there was a bit of a scrambling and cleanup from the White House and the State Department after the president made that statement.
Now, Steve, correct me on my history, though, but that one China policy, we're talking, that thing's got whiskers. I mean, it's gone back to just post-Vietnam. Things have changed considerably in China, in Taiwan, in the United States now. Is anyone talking about maybe revisiting that? I know it's probably maybe not the best time in geopolitics to do that, but...
Well, officials here would say that over the years, the policy has certainly been tweaked, and it's evident that from what the president said, that while that may have caused some trouble for the spokespeople that have to go out and nuance this all, that behind the scenes, a lot of people, including both Democrats and Republicans, were actually pleased that Biden said this publicly.
Well, and I think there's a time, well, clearly there's a time strategically to be, not to be very clear about your messaging, because that's just good strategy, but there's also a time to be very clear to avoid some catastrophic missteps. Which category would you say we fall into right now with regard to China?
Well, I think it's very clear from the timing of this that the statement was meant as a brushback pitch to Beijing. And there's been, of course, since the Russian invasion of Ukraine, all sorts of speculation that this could embolden the Chinese to make a move against Taiwan. Although there is also the argument now that because it's gone so badly for the Russians, that it would give the Chinese pause. There are some differences. I think it's really a case of apples and oranges if you start to make a direct comparison between the Ukraine situation and the Taiwan situation.
Now, you mentioned that the Quad, which is the, if I get this right, it's not my first language, the Quadrilateral Security Dialogue. That's U.S., Japan, Australia, right. India. Where does India fall into this mix? What are they thinking right now?
Right. Well, it's very interesting in the joint leaders statement that came out of this Quad meeting in Tokyo today that the word Russia was not mentioned. It was a 3,000 word document. It went into all sorts of things about COVID and a lot of other topics. But obviously, Russia was not in there because of pressure from India. India and Russia have this longstanding relationship, but India got into this Quad because it's meant as a grouping that's not an alliance, not an organization like NATO, to work together to keep China in check. India did not get into the Quad to be in a sort of grouping to push back rhetorically or militarily against Russia. India has a long relationship with Russia, both in supplying a lot of its military equipment, including some older MiG fighter jets that pilots in India refer to as flying coffins. And also buys some of its oil from Russia. And the State Department is saying, look, we understand India has this special relationship with Russia that goes back decades, and we don't expect them to change this totally overnight. But obviously there is some pressure
so unlike NATO on
New Delhi.
Unlike NATO, with the Quad, there's no mutual defense agreement. This is sort of a geopolitical chat room.
Exactly. India has made it very clear that it's not joining any military alliances with the United States or anybody else, at least in the foreseeable future.
Steve, when we come back, I want to talk about the other big thing on the radar, which is Ukraine. You mentioned Russia and what's going on there, a very dynamic time. So, folks, if you'd like to interact, we've got a tremendous expert on the phone with us. Give us a call, 790-2040. This is Ben Bueller Garcia sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. We'll be right back.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Ben Buehler-Garcia sitting in for Bill in the Green Things Socolow Village Studios. Folks, it's already heating up in Tucson, just the right time to plan a cool summer escape. How about a visit to our friends just across the border at Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico? Their average high temperature in July is only 81 degrees. Just 3 hours away from Tucson, lots to see and do, from Silver City's historic downtown to the beauty of the Gila National Wilderness. I personally recommend a visit to the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument and the Catwalk Recreation Area. For a complete listing of things to see and do and all the great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. We're talking with Steve Herman, the chief national correspondent for Voice of America. Steve, kind of teased before the break about Ukraine. I talked to a lot of military folks on my show, and there's a few that predicted that, you know, Russia was kind of a paper tiger, but I don't think anyone would have seen this thing stretching out, a true David Goliath fashion so far.
Right, Ben. Yeah. From folks I've talked to in Washington, all of the assessments over at the State Department and the Defense Department and the intelligence community is that at the beginning, there was an expectation it would just be a matter of days before the Russians would achieve their goals. And that didn't happen. So you can argue that the intelligence community got it wrong again. It's not the first time it's happened. Really was a big surprise, even to the best of the people who would keep track of this stuff in Russia, that they were going to fail in such a way. Although I think we should point out that the Russian forces in the past few days have been making significant gains in eastern Ukraine.
Well, there's no doubt that our, for lack of a better term, kind of our not very secret lend-lease program and maybe some intelligence has also had an impact on the battlefield. And I guess one of my, not to sound too harsh, but other than my concern for the people of Ukraine, one of my other concerns, Steve, is, you know, I'm sure Raytheon here in Tucson would be happy to make more missiles. But at some point, does this become unsustainable without reducing our own combat readiness? And, you know, God forbid we go back to Taiwan.
Yeah, that is a question that the spokesperson at the Defense Department and even the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and the Secretary of Defense have been asked by reporters in recent days and weeks. And they are making very reassuring comments that will not be the case. You know, I guess, you know, the obvious answer is this remains to be seen, because if, and this is a big if, the conflict were to escalate and NATO were to be drawn into it, that would change the parameters very much. But of course, you're also talking about a situation where there are indications of a significant Russian depletion, mm-hmm. of resources as well, and not just manpower, but tanks and rockets and missiles and things like that.
Let's talk a little bit about the economic sanctions. I'm sure there's some folks in Moscow that are not very happy they can't get their Big Mac or their Starbucks, but that's not going to break Putin. What, I mean, some of these other, is it starting to bite? Are you seeing that? Are you hearing that?
Yes, we are. But conversely, the longer the sanctions regime remains in place, the easier it'll be, and the more creative ways Moscow will find to get around of a lot of this. So yes, the McDonald's and Starbucks are probably more symbolic than anything. That's not going to cause Putin to send up a white flag. Over time, it may be easier for the Russians to get around it. One question that I have for a VOA radio program that I'm going to be hosting on Thursday, and I'm going to tape an interview tomorrow, looking for a currency analyst. If there's anyone out there like that, give me a call about why the Russian ruble has actually been going up in recent weeks. And you know, we heard about this impending collapse of the Russian currency. So it's not as simple as it seems, apparently, when it comes to these economic sanctions.
Well, especially in a regime where we don't have all the facts. We don't know what they're doing behind the scenes there. But I think it was Sun Tzu, Steve, said, you know, you should always build a golden bridge for your enemy to escape back across.
Right.
Do you see any talking or indication of what maybe that golden bridge might be for the Russians? Or it's already been blown up?
There's a lot of discussion about that in Washington. And there is an argument that Putin needs some sort of face-saving means to call it a day with Ukraine. And then, of course, you have others that are saying, look, let's just keep going on with this and bleed the Russian military as much as possible. And no, you don't have to worry about an escalation. But the rhetoric, at least that we've heard from Putin and others, has been concerning, where they talk about a possible nuclear escalation. Well, you can argue perhaps they are bluffing, but do we really want to find that out?
No, we don't. Although I will say, Steve, I see in how the equipment they took into Ukraine has been maintained, I'm wondering if somebody ever pushed a button on a missile, nuclear missile in Russia, if the thing would just sit there. I don't know. But
well,
we don't want to take that chance.
Yeah, that's always one of the fears expressed by the disarmament advocates, is even if this stuff isn't out there, and even if this stuff is out there and not being used, there still is always the risk of something happening accidentally.
Let's shift real quick. We've got about 4 minutes left. I want to bring this back to the home front. You know, the days of World War II, where we could just say, okay, we got the Atlantic, we got the Pacific, we're just going to hunker down and everything will be okay. Those days are long gone and will never come back. The gas prices, inflation, the markets, Americans are feeling this in their checkbook. And I mean, frankly, I still can't believe we're flying in baby formula, like we're some kind of third world country. And Steve, I wonder if, you know, there was the school board parents revolt in Virginia. I'm wondering if are we looking at a baby formula revolt in these upcoming midterm elections?
Well, I suspect that the primaries are a different case because they're going on right now. But in the general election in November, it would seem that this issue would be long behind us. We'll probably be on to other major talking points by November, but as you point out, probably the rising prices, especially for gasoline, rents, are still going to be an issue come November. Obviously, this is all posing significant challenges for Democratic Party incumbents.
Well, and for the voters out there who might have seen our president's most recent quote, where he seemed to indicate that these gas prices actually, that's part of the bigger plan. I don't know if that's what he meant to say, but you know, if anybody had any hope that, okay, Ukraine gets resolved, we start pumping gas again, everything's going to be okay, we'll be back to $3 a gallon or soon. Maybe not. And I, you know, in my day job, I do work a lot in politics, and, you know, that's amazing what's bouncing around the back of people's heads. And they're not as unpredictable as Putin, but it's not, there's just a lot of stuff stacking up now.
Absolutely. Even if things were going really well, the Democrats were expected to suffer significant losses in the November election, because historically that's been the way it has occurred. And Democratic strategists are hoping that their base is rallied by the abortion ban issue. And, you know, we can sit here and talk about, you know, geopolitics all day long, unless we're in World War III. Americans tend to vote with their pocketbook more than anything else. So reining in these gas prices and reining in inflation are an absolute priority for the administration. And I see that they're trying to do everything they can. But of course, when you talk about, you know, independent forces out there, such as the Federal Reserve, which sets the interest rates, of course, there are limits to what a president can do, even if he's got both houses of Congress and the power of the pen, which is the executive orders, of course.
So, boy, pitter-patter. I mean, this is like turning an aircraft carrier, but they better get on it. Real quick, we're running out of time, Steve. I want to ask you, do you think the Voice of America's mission is just as important today as it was in World War II, particularly what's going on?
I think it's probably more important because we have more of the world that we're broadcasting to with 47 languages. It was quite limited, focusing on German and Japanese language broadcasts and some others during World War II. And it's a much more bigger world out there, and a lot of different language services in countries that we're trying to reach.
Well, thank you, Steve, for doing what you're doing. Thank you for spending time with us here on the Buckmaster Show today.
My pleasure, Ben.
Thanks for sharing your time with us, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I'll be back in studio Thursday for an all-Memorial Day show, and, of course, Bill will be back soon. Feel free to check out the Buckmaster Show podcast at buckmastershow.com. As always, ladies and gentlemen, please have a safe and a wonderful day out there, and thank you for tuning in to the Buckmaster Show and listening to 1030 The Voice. Take care.